The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from L.A., and today is the last day of September. Wow, how fast this year has gone by. It's September the 30th, 2016. It is a Friday, and it's a very important Friday. A lot going on in the world, as you always hear me say, and we're going to cover some of those things. Very, very important. We have a live show for you today, but it is not one that is going to, it's pre-recorded because of things, couple of things I have to get done today, and so I won't be able to have our regularly scheduled time to where you can call in and actually give questions or comments. So won't be able to do that, but Monday we will be back on, God willing, and we're going to change the format a little around for Tando Radio Show. We're going to focus more on why you should, I mean, how you should be preparing and some of the things you need to be thinking about. And I would just say that before we get into today's show, it's very, very important for many of us. We started Tando for the, under the guidelines that we wanted to give you the reasons why you should be preparing, because every person is different. Every situation is different. So what we want to do now is we want to give you some of the fundamental basics, because you have to devise tactical plans around, and not only tactical plans and supplies and needs, and you have to provide for yourself based off of your individual's needs. It is unique. It is as unique as your fingerprint, as your iris, as your personality, as your overall human, as your overall spirit. It is very unique what each person needs. But what we're going to do is we're going to try to give you some fundamental basic things. And we're going to focus a lot of that in Tando Radio Show to give you some of those things. Very important, starting next week, for you to call so that some specific advisement or some specific questions can be asked from you. I would say please call, because it's important for us to know what it is that you are contending with, because there can be some advice that we can give you on Tando Radio Show, and also for Brother Davis on Wise Wednesdays, and just some of our regular listeners and callers. And I would say that now is the time to be more proactive in establishing groups. We can actually advise you to do those things. This is the key to a lot of it. Our wishbone has to be much smaller than our backbone. If we are not actually putting energy to things, there is no one's fault but our own. You have to, we have to, I have to build specifically for myself, my family, and our community collectively. But that takes the effort of you. We do not need, in my opinion, you may think opposite, you may think that we do, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But in my opinion, the worst thing for us to have is leaders, because we wait for them to give direction on what we're supposed to do. You don't need to be told what to do. More importantly, you need to be exposed why you need to do some things and give some fundamental background on some things and some foundational pieces of things so you can build your ark. Noah's ark, just from the standpoint of biblically, Noah's ark was specifically built for Noah. Where is your ark? It has to be built for you. This is something that you have to energize, and this is something that you have to care about, because if you don't care about it, it won't be important to you. No one can make you do anything. They can't make you be a slave, and they can't make you do anything. They can threaten you. They can physically maneuver things, but they can't make you do anything. And no, likewise with the overall preparedness level. If you do not have an interest in it, that interest is not going, that lack of interest is not going to produce anything worthwhile for you, your family, or the overall collective community. It's critical that some of you start to do some of your own research. The University of YouTube is there. There are so many things that you can, you know, you can find out and start to engage, and then come back and share different things. I don't have a problem with sharing some of the things that I've been doing, which I will do with you all. So I think it's critical that we become proactive. And then what you will see is that there is the strength of diversity. Our overall preparedness will be as uniquely conscripted as our created and our God-given ability that is so beautiful and dynamic. No tree is alike. No flower is alike. And no spirit is alike. And that is a beautiful thing. They do not fall in line with man's manipulation. They are actually seized by man through manipulation. But the ecosystem is very unique, and we need to be, as in my opinion, is the best thing for us to be as unique as that. So you and I should be coming together, understanding that we need, the objective is to prepare. The objective is to become sovereign and independent. The method in which to do that is preparing different ways and to establishing our own free will, and that is critical. So let's, before we get into today's show, as always, let's talk about how we can support Tando Radio Show. Black Talk Radio Network is by you supporting Black Talk Radio Network, and you can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, crowdfundingdigitalblackmedia.com, and you will see the crowdfunding campaign that's going on. You can give some of your financial energy to maintain this overall network. And you can do that by three ways. Number one, you can make a one-time contribution of $24.99 via PayPal or by right there on the website. And as well, you can send a check of money order for any of the three options to Black, and you can make the check of money order payable to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. And for that, you will receive for your contribution of $24.99. All contributions are extremely appreciated, and we thank you. You can receive the monthly statistical performance report of the network, as well as the social media operation, via email, so make sure you leave a good email. Option number two, for just one penny more, you can make a one-time contribution of $25 or more. In addition to receiving the monthly email report, you will receive a free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift for your contribution. And I'll tell you, this t-shirt is extremely comfortable. All t-shirts... Sorry, everyone, I didn't notice, but I guess we got cut off. So let me just rehash what I was said, what I was saying. Now, there is, well, we'll talk about it. There is going to be some solar interruption today, so that may be some things you may find, some of your cell phones and things having some solar interference today. But what I was saying is that we're going to start to, because I'm not quite sure where we were cut off, we are going to start to have more talk about how to prepare, and I would definitely highly suggest that you all call in, because it is, you know, preparing is unique to every individual situation, and you should be calling in, and we should be discussing these things so that we can help as many people as we possibly can. Let me tell you, if you want help, one of the best ways to get help is by helping others. And this is something that I think is critical for us to be doing at this time. Let's not do what the system has devised and schooled us to do. Let's create our own environment, our own direction, collectively together. We don't all have to agree, but I think we all have a collective responsibility to ensure that the overall benefit of everyone is first and foremost, collectively. Then there's a collective prudence where we can start to move together, where people of like-mindedness and like spirit and resonate the same can start to build a sovereign coexistence that is free and is has purged all of the outside influence that would enslave or subjugate it. Very, very important. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to start that on Monday. So please be proactive. Give calls in so we can know some of your specific situations and any questions that you have. But beyond that, you should be actively energizing your own preparedness. There's the University of YouTube. Great information is there. And there's so much. This has to be energized by you. You have to take you have to become the greatest supporter of yourself, and you have to actually seek out. There is nothing that is true that is hidden from the seeker, but many of us choose not to seek truth, and we choose to be told a false reality that controls. So be proactive, and this will position us much better. So let's talk about how we can support Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com/crowdfunding digital black media / right there is the crowdfunding campaign that we can that you can give your financial energy to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network is here. And on the website there, you can see you can donate there, or you can go to three options. Option number one, you can make a one-time contribution of $24.99 or less via PayPal, or by sending a check or money order, make it payable to, and you can do that for all of the options. You can make the check or money order payable to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. And for that, you will receive for that option of $24.99 or less, all donations and contributions are extremely appreciated. You will receive the monthly statistical performance report for the network, for the radio station, as well as the social media operations via email. Option number two, for just one penny more, you can give a one-time contribution of $25 or more, and you will receive the monthly email reports, as well as receiving a free Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt that is extremely comfortable, and all T-shirts will be given in increments of $25 or more. So if you want two T-shirts, $50, three T-shirts, $75, four T-shirts, $100. Make sure that you include all sizes that correspond with each T-shirt that you're giving. And I would also say make sure you have a good shipping address, a telephone number, and also include an email in case you need to be contacted in regards to your order. Next, and that will expedite that. Next, option number three, become a monthly contributor of $25 or more. In addition to receiving the monthly email reports and the free Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt, you will also be eligible to receive gifts from the network from time to time. Very, very important, I think, and very, very necessary. So with that being said, check out where we are, okay? And that is how you can support Black Talk Radio Network. As you can also go to become a member of BTR Community. It's a social media outlet for you, has been actually designed for you and with your demographics in mind. You're speaking to Scotty and said, hey, Scotty, we need to get off of FedBook and get our own system. And he agreed. And then what did he do? He built it. Just like we should all be building our own Noah's Ark. It should be your Ark. It should be Donnie's Ark. It should be Michael's Ark. It should be Tamika's Ark. It should be Yolanda's Ark. It should be Yasmin's Ark. It should be, you know, every person should be building their own Ark. And so one of the Arks that has been built by Black Talk Radio Network is a social media outlet that is only $24 a year, which equates to roughly a dollar a week. So where you can go and express your opinion, give advisement, you can promote some things that you're doing, your business, some events that's going on, promote our overall agenda, our overall thoughts and ideas of things, and also is a place where you can actually bring your thoughts without fearing any repercussions of what your opinion is, nor will your information be sold and compromised. This is not a place that will be data mined and will be protected, so that you can be at liberty to have the overall necessity to assemble. Very, very important. So BTR community, you can find that on the Black Talk Radio Network's website. In the far right column towards the bottom, you'll see a B for BTR community, a new online black social experience. Definitely be a part of that. Also, if you are interested in protecting yourself and your family, which you should be, especially now in the times that we're in, the overall banking system in Europe and the United States and globally is under major attack and is going to start to divest itself. People are divesting themselves, and it is going to have a major effect, and this is a part of the World War III that's going to lead to global nuclear war that is unfolding right now. Protect yourself so that you can have options. If you lose everything in the banks, if you lose everything in the pension funds, if you lose everything in the stock market, what position of preparedness will you be in? I would say in one that is going to be actually subject to all of the adversities and the ills and the madness and the craziness of the collapse. They're collapsing the common person's economy. They're not collapsing the economy. What do I mean by that? That means in order for you to engage in the economy, you're going to have to do things now while you still can to acquire the necessary assets that the economy itself needs to function. When you have real assets, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need the economy. The economy needs you. When you don't have assets, when you're not prepared, when you can't fend for yourself, when you can't provide for yourself, you're at the overall subject will of those that have been manipulating. And we've seen throughout history what they've been doing. So, everyone, please protect yourself accordingly. Now, what are we going to do? And how you can do that? You can do that with us through Prosperity Mint. That's ProsperityMint, Prosperity Mint. It's very easy to engage in Prosperity Mint. All you have to do is you can go there, look at, we have an inventory. Text me at 951-790-8330. Text me so I can advise you and give you and talk to you to make sure that you are getting exactly what you need in the process, but more importantly, so that you don't make a very critical mistake that and I want to avoid you as much adversity as possible. There are some things you need to know about the precious metals market that I will explain to you, so make sure that you contact me. You can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. WOLF1@gmail.com. You can reach me there as well as you can text me at 951-790-8330. Okay, so let's talk about what's in the news before we start this morning show. Well, it's being taped in the morning. It's being previously recorded, so you won't be able to actually call in to today's show. But next week, starting next week, we will be focusing on preparedness. Now, first thing, that there's a solar storm that's coming towards us all. I forgot to mention it yesterday on Wise Thursday with Brother David's great show. But there is a solar storm that is coming, and it is probably going to strike sometime today, and you could see some satellite TVs will have interruptions, as well as possibly cell phones and other things. But I just hope that it doesn't take the grid down. Not quite sure. I never trust anything from mainstream media, but it definitely something that you should be know about and to take the appropriate action. So that is something that is happening. I should have let you all know, and I said this is something that I forgot to do. Major heads up, a solar storm heading towards Earth, threatening to break your Sky TV and mobile phone, and to break the signal and everything else. So check out that article. It's in from express.co.uk. So there could be, and that's one thing, we don't want a Clarington event that would knock out the whole grid. And believe me, that's something that you had needed to been preparing for, because that would be quite a situation. Next article comes from, let me catch up here, I missed that one. Next article comes from one second. Sorry about this. Let me position myself. Here it is. Next article comes from Bloomberg. Some Deutsche Bank clients reducing collateral on trade. There's major movements out of Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is basically dead. Talked about that yesterday. Next article comes from Press TV. U.S. Israel using Saudis to hide 9/11 role. That comes from Press TV. Check out that article. Really good one. Next one comes from Global Research. Dangerous crossroads. Both Russia and America preparing for nuclear war. And there's a question mark. And I say yes, and the war has already started. And the nuclear part of it has started as well. It goes back to a year and a month ago, about 13 months ago, when there was a Tianjin port where I believe that there was a tactical nuke used against China. And there's been some other incidents, so it's going to continue. Next article comes from Bloomberg. ING plans thousands of job cuts. And ING is the largest Dutch bank in the Netherlands, and this is going to continue with the displacement of the global economy. Europe, in my opinion, economically and banking, their banking situation is gone. It's only going to get worse. Next article comes from Press TV again. Pakistan warns of crisis in India. Tensions. Another two nuclear nations that have been at odds are now that has been flared up by attacks on both sides. So in Kashmir, so this is going to, and they are being funded by the usual suspects, the United States and Russia, and China is involved because China and India are actually arch enemies. They've actually been fighting each other for a very, very long time on their border. So the overall global placement of war, global war of World War III that leads to global nuclear war I is real, and it's going to just continue to go further. Now, what do I mean by global nuclear war I? This is going to be the first, in my opinion, the first time in modern history or in recorded history that we are in modern times. It's happened before plenty of times. There's been nuclear wars on this planet. The technology is not new. It's just new to you, and they just tell to you and I, they just tell us that it's new. Well, for this time, there's going to be exchange between sovereign nations of nuclear tactical nukes that may even be other forms of nukes, but it's not going to destroy the planet. It is going to cause the destruction that's needed in my opinion, this is nothing more than a depopulation program, because people are starting to realize that they can control their energy by their free will and decide to do something other than what the schools have domesticated them to doing. And this is a threat to the overall global enslavement. Next article comes from Strategic Culture. Pentagon chief outlines preparation for nuclear war with Russia. Things is real, ladies and gentlemen. Next article from Sputnik. Russia adding another 200 tons of gold to its treasury. And here's why. Check out that. And I think it's much, much more. Next article comes from TechDirt. FBI, DOJ, and their forensic scientists say they'll continue to use discredited junk science to put people behind bars. And my commentary was, to put black people behind bars. There, I fixed it for you.
Okay, give us just a second. It appears that we have been some issues. This thing logged me out and cut off the audio. And let me fix that. Okay, yeah, let me go ahead and try to find the place. Sorry about that. It just cut off on its own. I didn't do anything to it. Let me see if I can get us back to where we are or were.
And other things, but I just hope that it doesn't take the grid down. I don't, and that's a question mark. And I say yes, and the war has already started, and the nuclear part of it has started as well. It goes back to a year and a month ago, about 13 months ago, when there was a Tianjin port where I believe that there was a tactical nuke used against China. And there's been some other incidents, so it's going to continue. Next article comes from Bloomberg. ING plans thousands of job cuts. And ING is the largest Dutch bank in the Netherlands, and this is going to continue with the displacement of the global economy. Europe, in my opinion, economically and in banking, their banking situation is gone. It's only going to get worse. Next article comes from Press TV again. Pakistan warns of crisis in India. Tensions. Another two nuclear nations that have been at odds are now that has been flared up by attacks on both sides. So in Kashmir, so this is going to, and they are being funded by the usual suspects, the United States and Russia, and China is involved because China and India are actually arch enemies. They've actually been fighting each other for a very, very long time on their borders. So the overall global placement of war, global war of World War III that leads to global nuclear war I is real, and it's going to just continue to go further. Now, what do I mean by global nuclear war I? This is going to be the first, in my opinion, the first time in modern history or in recorded history that we are in modern times has happened before. Plenty of times there's been nuclear wars on this planet. The technology is not new. It's just new to you, and they just tell to you and I, they just tell us that it's new. Well, for this time, there's going to be exchange between sovereign nations of nuclear tactical nukes that may even be other forms of nukes, but it's not going to destroy the planet. It is going to cause the destruction that's needed because this is what, because of the, in my opinion, this is nothing more than a depopulation program, because people are starting to realize that they can control their energy by their free will and decide to do something other than what the schools have domesticated them to doing. And this is a threat to the overall global enslavement. Next article comes from Strategic Culture. Pentagon chief outlines preparation for nuclear war with Russia. Things is real, ladies and gentlemen. Next article from Sputnik. Russia adding another 200 tons of gold to its treasury. And here's why. Check out that. And I think it's much, much more. Next article comes from TechDirt. FBI, DOJ, and their forensic scientists say they'll continue to use discredited junk science to put people behind bars. And my commentary was to put black people behind bars. There, I fixed it for you, FBI and DOJ, to make it more of a true, to make it a more true statement. So check out that article. Next article, very, very critical one. from Bloomberg. What's plan B after Syria's collapse? The United States insists it still has one. And I'm going to tell you where the United States plan B is. If you go back to yesterday, and there was a YouTube video from RT that I put out from the spokesman for the U.S. State Department, Dumb John Kirby, where he actually, if you listen to, he actually threatened Russia with terrorist acts within Russia. And he tried to be sly in the whole thing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is America's plan B for Russia. And the Russians aren't unaware of that. And this is going to be the overall move of the perpetual global war, World War III, that's going to lead to global nuclear war one, GNW1. So, and next article came from Sputnik News, and it goes together with the Bloomberg article. U.S. could have plotted to use terrorists as plan B and fight with Assad. And not only that, and this is what the Russian foreign minister said, and he is actually also, in my opinion, saying that they're probably going to try to use those same tactics within Russia as well. So watch out for, I think that you should watch out for typhoons for the Philippines, acts of terror all over the place in different countries, Australia and all those countries that are starting to move away from the United States, the Philippines, Australia, Germany. You know, these are key places, and you also see some acts within Russia, China, and wouldn't be surprised if Japan is actually targeted and retargeted again. So these things are starting to unfold. So the article from Sputnik, I said these two stories go together. During a press conference, which we posted here, Jay Kirby said Russia will see acts of terror in their country because of Russian involvement in Syria. I'm paraphrasing what he said. This is clearly the U.S.'s plan B, and seems more like plan T in Russian eyes. So that's what's going on. That's what's in the news for today. Time we go. Okay, we're good. What we're going to do, we're going to go to a commercial break. But before we do that, today's broadcast is not live. You won't be able to call in. This has been pre-recorded. Recorded this earlier today. I would definitely say everyone, please keep a watchful eye and be ready to move. And I would start to say to get the precious metals. You can contact us for that. Get your cash out of harm's way. Start buying the resources that are needed, because it is going to be so, so important for you to do just that. There is no time to wait. So make sure that you have the essential items and needs that are necessary. We're going to go to a commercial break, but when we come back out of the commercial break in just a couple of minutes, we're going to look at some things, and then we're going to actually have a video for you all, very, very important video as to why, how, some of the reasons how we got here and what this really does mean. What I want to do is we're going to go back to an article that I forgot to take a look at that is very, very important, and we're going to put up where the UN has actually said that there is some real major problems that are starting to come about in the global economy that is going to displace the overall global positioning, and it is going to be, we're going to take a look at it. UN warns next global recession may trigger sovereign debt default contagion, and that sovereign debt default contagion has already started. It started in Europe, and it's going to pick up its speed, and it is going to be extremely fast and extremely deep. Let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you prepare and nothing happens, you don't lose anything. But when you fail to prepare and when things do happen, you have the opportunity to lose everything. The forewarnings of everything from war to economic collapse have been there, even for those of you that need what so-called mainstream, what the school of obedience have taught you, where is it on mainstream? In some places in mainstream, it's very apparent. If all you have to do is seek, and you will see it where you have actually where they're telling you, the adverse conditions are here, and they're going to start to unfold, and they can't be put back in the bottle. The genie can't be put back in the bottle, because the genie in itself is the evil spirit that has a will, and it has commitment behind that will. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of the commercial break, we will definitely take a look at this, and then we'll jump into Scotty will play today's YouTube video that wanted you all to hear. But this weekend is a very important weekend, and Friday for you to prepare. Get your cash out of the way. Put it into resources that you can use into assets. So important. You listen to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks. Today's show has been pre-recorded earlier on Friday, September the 30th of 2016. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., on this Friday, September the 30th, last Friday of the month. And, this year has flown by, and it's about to really get heavy, hot and heavy, in my opinion, as the fall is going to be literal and figurative in so many ways. The weather-wise and the sovereign nations are about to fall, or the people, the citizenry of the sovereign nations are about to experience a fall like no other, and it's already started to kick off. So, have a live show for you today. Today's show has been pre-recorded earlier, so we won't be able to take your phone calls, but definitely we will be, God willing, we'll be back on Monday, and hopefully we will be able to, which we will, I think we will, but just God willing, we'll be here and continue what we're doing. And what we're going to do is we're going to have more of a direct bringing information for you to prepare. And I will definitely, as I said in the beginning of the start of the show, it's really important for you all to call and to ask questions about your specific concerns or some of the things that you're doing that you can share to help people. Because that's really more important. Right now we need to be about our backbone. Our backbone needs to be extremely, extremely strong. Let me tell you, in my opinion, before we get into today's show, there are not going to be very many jobs, but there's going to be plenty of work to be done, and that's okay. Should not fear that at all. The thing that we should, and that actually brings about some real resolve and some real opportunity for us to work and to build something that's more conducive and more sustainable for our way of living and our desire to and our upholding of the freedom that we will invoke. So very, very important. We're going to start some of that all next week, and we're going to be doing that for as long as necessary to get our people. And one of the things that I want to do is establish how you can talk to people, just some of my some of the things that have worked well for me, have some of the things that haven't worked well for me. That's all I will be, you know, doing, talking with family members and friends, and how you go about preparing, what some of the things you need to get, the table of preparedness, and all of that. And we're going to try to cover much of that here on Tando Radio Show from now until, because this is just where we are. It's the overall state, global state, is really moving in a way. The geopolitical state causes us to respond appropriately. And the great thing about that is that we can now dictate who and where we're going. So with that being said, let's check out today's show. It was a very important article that I wanted to bring to your attention before we get into today's video. And this actual article came from Sputnik News. And one thing I would say about news in today's world, you can't go to the mainstream media in America for news. That mainstream media is dominated, as the media throughout the world is being dominated by the global special interest. But in the United States, it's especially because they don't tell you, at least in Germany, they told their citizens to start to prepare. And they made it very overt that uncertainties are about to come. Have a staple of food, have a staple of water, have cash at home. And why did Germany tell that? Because, in my opinion, one of the things is because Deutsche Bank is about to fold, and the first largest bank, and then the second largest bank, and all the banks will start to fold, and throughout Europe, and as well as the war that is going to be there, and the Trojan horse that has already been systematically placed there to ensure all of that. And that's why they at least told us, the citizenry, at least more than what's been told here. What they've been told here is for you to watch the debate, for you to watch football, for you to watch the pennant race, for you to watch, and I can't remember what that show on Fox is, because I don't watch TV, that's really, really popular, you know what show I'm talking about. They tell us to do the consumer, to be consumers, and entertainment junkies, instead of being thoughtful and actually to prepare and to be strategists of what's necessary for us to get where we need to get. Now, there was an article, very important, that came out on, what was it, Thursday? It was on Monday. It was on Monday the 26th, and I was actually going to read it on Monday the 26th, but back went out. So this was on the UN warns next global recession may trigger sovereign debt default contagion. Right? Here it is. The UN Conference on Trade and Development rang the alarm on the possibility of a global debt default contagion due to international economies' over-reliance on deficit spending, low interest rates to stimulate the economy. Now, let me tell you, this is all being systematically put into, because all of the low interest rates, the deficit spending, all of that brings about a condition of collapse in so many ways, sovereign collapse. During 2008, you had companies that were collapsing. What you're going to see now is sovereign means the nations are going to be collapsing. Let me tell you something. You can't even bail out Deutsche Bank as a private entity, nor can you bail out some of the mid-level banks, because there is no capital to do that. They don't have the means to bail out the overall debt exposure to derivatives that these institutions have. And you need to know this so that you don't think that it's just cool for you to have cash inside of a banking institution. This is why you're seeing that the overall banking scandals come out. This is why you're seeing the email scandals come out, because they all come together to perform one thing: collapse of sovereign economy, which leads to a global collapse of the common person's economy, and leads to and makes way for the perfect scenario for World War III that turns into GNW1, Global Nuclear War One. So the article continues. The next economic crisis may be the last warning, trade economists at the UN cautioned. The next crisis may be the last warning, trade economists at the UN cautions that the next global recession could quickly get out of control, plunging the world into economic depression as results in the post-apocalyptic falling of major governments as the world's bond markets teeters on the precipice of a full-on meltdown. Now, see, this is what we've been talking about for a very, very long time. So all of your, for all of your friends and family members that are naysayers, this is the information that you should be showing them so that they can make their own determination. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. Because they're not prepared, they're scared. And they're going to say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. You know what? What you believe is mildly interesting to what the truth is and what their agenda is and what the strategy is. Your belief system does not supersede the overall actions of someone else's commitment. Your belief system can only work for you. And if you think that you're not going to be adversely affected, if you believe that you're not going to be adversely affected, I would say, why do you believe that? Because what have you done to ensure that? And if that belief system is just based off of, I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to do everything that I've done yesterday and the day before, I'm just going to go about my business. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your business is not to destroy the global economy. It's been other people's business, and they're more committed to their business and have more traction than you and yours. So it's not really about you. It's about the commitment of other people to destroy you. Where is your counter-resistance to protect you? Is really what this should be all about. They're telling you here, a global economic depression that results in a post-apocalyptic falling of major government. Article continues, as capital begins to flow out, there is a real danger of entering a third phase of financial crisis, which began in the United States housing market in the late 2007 before spreading to Europe's sovereign bond markets, said the UN Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD. In the wake of the 2008 economic collapse, countries around the world were forced their economies afloat by flooding the market with cheap money by artificially lowering interest rates to near zero, an unprecedented rate point at which benchmark rates have remained for nearly 8 years now. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? This has had the 8-year momentum of low interest rates and the artificial lowering of zero interest rates, as well as creating digitally and printing capital that is not going to have the overall confidence that the world will need to purchase assets. It's a debt crisis, ladies and gentlemen. They've created too much debt. And in creating that debt, they were causing people to lose their principal in investment by having no interest rates being paid to them. So when trouble comes along, it's the principal that's lost. Smokey? It's the principal, Smokey. And with that principal being lost, ladies and gentlemen, this is a keen and economic and a manipulated way to steal wealth and to transfer wealth from the general population to selected corporations, organizations, and in individuals so that they can have more control over the population by controlling resources and then cutting off people from resources. If you have resources, you don't need the economy. The economy needs you, as I said before. When you don't have resources, you need the economy to provide for you. That is a position that does not give you really any form of sustainability, prosperity, nor freedom. It's just the opposite. It destroys, it enslaves, and it subjugates, and it kills. Famine, disease, war, destruction, and poverty. Very important that we understand what are we truly, truly dealing with. So the article goes on to say, large emerging economies, including Brazil, Russia, and South Africa. Notice Brazil, Russia, South Africa. This is a Russian newspaper, but they're talking about the BRIC nations. And here's what they're saying. They're telling you that this is all true, and because they protected themselves. Russia, Brazil, South Africa, India, and China, and the other 130 other nations that make up BRIC nations, they've all been preparing. They've been preparing to have another group, another consortium of nations outside of NATO. They created an establishment to counter NATO. They created an establishment to defeat NATO. Even though India is one of the very strong but shaky partners in this whole thing, I think they'll eventually come around. As did, I said, when the Philippines and Taiwan, where I said that they'll probably go around to be on China's side. And lo and behold, what have they been doing? Going towards China. Why? As the Philippines president said, the U.S. has no money. Russia and China do. And when he was talking about money, he wasn't talking about cash. See, what you think is money is not money. This is how they trick you to get. They make you believe that something worthless is valuable, so you'll hoard what is worthless. So your overall energy is being taken away from you for worthless measure. It's about your energy, ladies and gentlemen. It's about your energy, not about your cash. It's about your money. Energy is a form of money that was given to you as prosperity by the great creator God Almighty. Don't tell me that money is not important. Don't tell me that it's not significant. Don't tell me that it's not relevant. That's because you know nothing about history and you know nothing about economy. Money is what the great creator gave you as a gift offering for creating you. It is a responsibility to having you to live in a way from when you're responsible for what you create. And that responsibility was so great that responsibility gave you the free will to do what you want, but also to provide for you so that you won't have needs. Excuse me, that you won't have wants that can't be adequately provided for. I said that wrong. I was right. So that your needs can be adequately provided for and your wants will be at the discretion of your free will. What are your wants is the key. So don't tell me that money has its place. Whenever people say that money has its place is because they don't know the place of money themselves. Money is a very key, a very, very important attribute of you being free that the great creator gave you. What is that? Your energy. It's money. And if you know the difference between currency and money, you would know what that really means. That's what they're really after. That's the money that they're after. It ain't after the piece of paper in your pocket. They created that. They can take that any time. And that's why you should be transferring that into what God has created, God's money. All forms of God's money. Because God's money, you can always have a medium of exchange of God's money for other God's money that brings you sustainable living, spiritually and physically. Very important. So the article continues. Large emerging economies, including Brazil, Russia, and South Africa, may be the worst hit in the event of another economic slowdown, as they're most likely to face a credit crunch from lenders who are unwilling to renew their debt or buy more, pushing borrowing costs to unprecedented levels. Nevertheless, major Western economies may also feel the squeeze in the event that the international credit market freezes up due to massive issuance of debt. Let me stop there real quick. Brazil, Russia, South Africa, China, India, and all the other 130 nations, they have something that the Western economies don't have. They have far less debt exposure, and they have far more assets. They have far more energy, both human energy and monetary money energy, than the U.S. and Western economies have. That's the thing that they didn't tell you here. So it goes on. In the United States, the national debt is quickly nearing $20 trillion, with the danger that the interest payment may alone overwhelm the budget, in particular if credit is limited, forcing interest rates on repayment upwards. The U.S. debt is nowhere near $20 trillion, ladies and gentlemen. It's probably 10 to 20 times higher than that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's $400 trillion. But either way, it doesn't matter after the point of 20. Even with the $20 trillion, the U.S. can't pay it back. Even for 10 years where they start to have pay the deficit to where they no longer have a deficit, and then and have a surplus of $50 billion every annually in their overall deficit, and they have a surplus of $50 billion, it would take them over 466 years to pay off the debt. Ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's mathematically impossible, because the debt is much bigger than that. But even at their lying numbers, you're bankrupt. And when I say you're bankrupt, the general population here is bankrupt. The people are bankrupt, because this is a sovereign wealth default. And when the sovereign wealth default, ladies and gentlemen, all Social Security, medical, all infrastructure, austerity kicks in, and you, everything that you paid into, everything has been lost and consumed. And then what happens is somebody else who the debt is owed to says, I will take what I want from you now, and this is what I value, and this is what I'm going to take from you. And one of the things that they're going to take is they're going to take the U.S.'s money. What money does the U.S. have? It has some assets of oil, has some assets of gold, it has some assets of land and everything else, but its biggest asset of money is its overall labor of its citizens, the energy of its citizens, and that's what they're going to seize and take. Nobody else telling you about this. No one. It goes on to say, the article goes on to say, the pressures would most likely be felt mostly immediately on companies in emerging market economies who are forced to borrow money in depressed financial sectors with risk appetites fostering, but the decrease in national growth in countries around the world could quickly spread the contagion to the national state level. Ladies and gentlemen, and what does that mean? That means sovereign default. And why should you care? Because if you're not prepared, that means you are going to be the buyer of the debt. you are now going to have to pay the debt. And I asked you, what do you have to pay the debt with? Most people, a couple of $1 million, that ain't enough, because that paper is worthless. Whenever you have a default, the paper loses all of the confidence of being paying of the debt. So it has no purchasing power anymore. It has no purchasing power because it has no trade value. No one will exchange you something for that, because they'll say that's worthless. That is really what it boils down to. It boils down to the paper goes back to its true intrinsical value. It's only worth the paper that it's written on. What's the value of paper to someone? Depends on if they need to write a note or not. And if they do need to write a note, they're only going to give you something that equals the value of the note that they're going to give to write for. I got a piece of gum. I need to write a note. I got some bubblicious in my pocket. You know, you shouldn't be chewing that stuff. I'm guilty of that myself. I give you some bubblicious. I'll let you use my pen. I'll trade you a pen. I'll trade you some advice. Or if I'm really feeling good and I really like you, here's an apple. That's what it really is all about, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we have been neglected to be educated on by the system, because the system doesn't want you to know, because then you'll move into real protection of real money. What is real money, as we have already talked about? One of the protections of real money is your energy. And then all of the assets that the great creator has given, honey, food, herbs, spices, silver and gold. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, for what we're going to be going through, if you don't think that you'll need silver and gold, you know, as I said before, nothing about economies and you know nothing about history. The technology that you see today will temporarily assist you. It's like their Medicaid. It gives you a temporary care for a terminal illness of destruction that you have. The only thing that will always work is what's known as the antiquities. And the antiquities have worked, and the reason why they're antiquities, because they always work. Your technology, your temporary technology, is useless. And the sun today will make that point. If that solar storm happens to hit, you'll see how far your temporary technology goes when your phone goes out. If the sun solar storm hits and affects you, and it's the proper hit. But the sun at any time, being the living being that it is, was to release enough of its coronal mass ejection, it will make all of your technology a thing of the past. Everything will go back to its original intrinsic value. That's where the antiquities always do well in all forms of man's manipulated economy or God's ecosystem. You need to have more of the great creator in your life and less of the lying man in your life and lying woman in your life. But that choice has to be made by you. Has to be made for you, for your family, for our community, for the truth of it all. The truth will always stand there. And some of the greatest antiquities is the precious metals, because it's God's money. Some people say, well, you can't eat silver and gold. That's because you know nothing about it at all. You say that because you heard someone else say it. You've never extended any form of education towards that to substantiate or to validate what you can and what you can't do with real money, because we've been so consumed in cream. Cash rules me. That's the real significance of that slogan. When it says cash rules everything around me, just take this everything out. Cash rules me. And that's what's been institutionalized. Yes, they tricked you into it. But the thing is this, is that at some point and at some time, you got to stop going to the magic show to make you believe. You have to start to take your creative stand and your position as one that the great creator has created, and to position yourself accordingly. So now, with that being said, we're going to end today's show. We're going to play a video. Scotty's going to play a video for you all. Very important. Please, everyone, watch what's going on in the market. Position yourself accordingly. Get out of cash. Get into real assets to protect yourself. And then once that happens, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this, the economy will reestablish itself and will allow the common man back into the overall economy. But you won't even care, because you no longer will be the common man. The wage of a king is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver. And the wage of a slave is debt. Get out of the debt slave line and become a lady and a gentleman, and to require to be paid as a sovereign nation of a kingdom in gold and in silver, and save in that. So much love, much respect. God willing, we'll talk to you all on Monday. Scotty, if you would you play the video that we sent. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Houses that is tainted with arsenic and mercury, so that it'll leach out into your water, so that when you turn on your spigot in your house, you're suddenly contaminating yourself because that pipe was made cheaper in China.
Goodyear Tire outside of Montreal that closed about 4 years ago and put 850 people out of work. Moved the production to China because they could make tires, I think it was for $4 a tire cheaper. And not long after they started up in China, the transportation agency in the U.S. said the tires being produced there were unsafe. I mean, is this what corporate America or corporate Canada thinks is the way they should be conducting themselves? I don't think so.
We're importing a lot of their apples. They spray them with Alar. That's illegal in the United States. You want DDT on your apple? Buy it from China. And we're buying a lot of apples from China. We're buying everything from China. And there are no environmental controls.
There is a risk of suffocation, that kids can get trapped and die.
They took him to the hospital where they pronounced him dead.
Massive recall of a million of Mattel's Fisher-Price toys. A recent batch made in China contains toxic levels of lead paint.
Those teddy bears can loosen and fall out, posing a choking hazard.
According to the state media, dozens of babies have developed kidney stones in recent days.
Thousands of pets across the country died after eating tainted pet food. That led to a massive pet food recall.
My wife Bonnie died in December after receiving heparin that was later recalled by Baxter. My son Randy died a month later under the same circumstances.
Some brands have been found to contain a toxic chemical used in antifreeze.
Or from pigs force-fed wastewater.
If it comes from China and the price seems too good to be true, then it probably is.
It is very difficult for any country to protect their citizens from Chinese products.
The real problem here is that you have a political system that does not punish manufacturers for bad products. And it's because it's the nature of the political system. The Communist Party does not allow independent prosecutors, doesn't allow a free press, doesn't allow people to complain about bad products.
Let's take fish. There are 3.5 million fish farms in China. The fish are raised in contaminated ponds. They're fed all kinds of hormones, And the biggest market for that fish is the United States. 85% of the tilapia comes from China. Most of our shrimp comes from China. US FDA only has the ability to inspect 1% of the fish coming into the United States. 65% of the 1% they reject. They don't have the authority to confiscate the fish. So if the ship comes into Charleston and gets rejected, then it goes to Miami or New Orleans or some other port, and eventually the fish gets in.
And because of such dangers, Americans are becoming more and more aware of the Made in China label. But that doesn't always guarantee one's safety or convenience.
I personally do look at the labels of where things are made. But sometimes I go to buy things and it's impossible to find something that isn't made in China.
Well, my wife's a good card-carrying liberal. She believes in all the worthy causes in the world and all that sort of thing. And she's an intelligent woman, I want to say, for the record.
Little by little, I realized that China was getting to where it was and the United States was getting to where it was because there was all this currency manipulation. And it just seemed like the United States government was not doing a whole lot in the name of international trade to try to stop what was going on in China, which was able to lure a lot of jobs.
Some months ago, she decided that, to the best of her ability, she wasn't going to buy anything made in China. So our microwave oven failed. We don't have a new microwave oven because she could not find one that was not made in China.
When I went to look for a microwave, a freestanding microwave, there was nothing that wasn't made in China. I went to five different stores, from high-end hardware stores to low-end discount places. Nothing was available that wasn't made in China. And my experience from things made in China was that they weren't healthy. You never knew what was in them. They didn't work for very long. And they broke down if they worked in the beginning. So I then decided I just wasn't going to buy anything that was made in China. So we just, you know, do not have a microwave anymore. Right around the same time, we had under-a-counter electric unit for heating in one of the rooms. And the same thing happened. You couldn't get any electric baseboard that wasn't made in China. And I thought, well, my last one was made in America. I had it for 23 years. It worked great. Now I couldn't find it. And I just got completely discouraged that no American manufacturers were coming in to produce quality products over here.
And that's the dilemma we now find ourselves in. As China has used its weapons of job destruction to so thoroughly capture our markets, we are left with few choices other than to buy from China. But the more we buy from China, the more risks our families face from dangerous Chinese products, and the more jobs we lose. And because this is true, we now must also confront this much bigger truth.
We import a lot of stuff from China, but a lot of it we don't pay for. I mean, we've got no goods to ship in the opposite direction. So we just ship bundles of dollar bills. Between $2 and $3 trillion is available to buy up pieces of America. In other words, we're living beyond our means. We have an artificially high standard of living. We're consuming more than we create. That's a very dangerous situation. Okay? And especially if your principal creditor is a nation like China.
So just exactly how did we in America allow ourselves to be backed into such a dangerous Chinese corner?
When you live in a democracy, it's always subjected to being hijacked. And our democracy has been hijacked by the multinational corporations.
The corporate responsibility is to its shareholders, and it often has a legal fiduciary responsibility to its shareholders. The government has responsibility to the people and the national interest. Those are not necessarily the same.
U.S. multinational corporations knew exactly what was going to happen. They didn't have any plans to increase exports to China after China joined the WTO. They had plans to move production to China. But they were, I'd say, dishonest or disingenuous, because the whole rhetoric around China joining the WTO was about free trade and opening markets and engaging with China.
For the first time, our companies will be able to sell and distribute products in China made by workers here in America.
When in fact it was really self-interest and profit motive on the part of U.S. multinationals that drove that debate.
And U.S.-China Commissioner and businessman Dan Slain knows firsthand just how this offshoring shell game is working since China joined the World Trade Organization in 2001 and began flooding American markets with illegally subsidized exports.
I had a plywood manufacturing facility in Bowling Green, Kentucky, selling plywood to furniture manufacturers in the United States. In 2002, all my competitors were moving to China. Essentially, I had two choices. I shut the company down or I moved it to China. And I opened up three factories in China and delivered to the customer in the United States 50% cheaper than I could make it in Bowling Green.
And Slane's newfound competitive edge was all due to China's illegal weapons of job destruction.
Manipulating the currency was a huge help for me because it kept our prices down. I had no environmental issues, and the most important thing was that I could sell my product at cost, and every month the Chinese government would send me a check for 17% of my exports, and that was my net margin and my profit.
So was Slane wrong to offshore his factories to China? This interchange with U.S.-China Commissioner and multinational corporation lobbyist William Reinsch offers some perspective.
It's not generally regarded as the job of a large American company to, substitute itself for the government. What most of the companies want to do is to, they want to be consistent with government, with U.S. law and U.S. practice. If the government tells them that they would like them to do something, they generally do it.
So they don't have any responsible per se to the American people other than obeying the existing laws and regulations. Is that fair?
Well, what responsibility would you like them to have to the American people other than trying to be good corporate citizens and to be profitable?
Would you define a good corporate citizen as a company that moves its factories over to China and creates massive unemployment in the Midwest? Is that good corporate citizen?
Well, I think that you'd have to ask, you'd have to go case by case.
And in Dan Slane's case?
The difference between myself and General Electric is that I had no choice. I either moved to China or I shut the company down. I couldn't compete. Jeff Immelt at General Electric does have a choice. He can sacrifice some profits, keep his technology, and in the long term be much better off manufacturing in the United States.
Congressman Tim Ryan understands this distinction between small domestic manufacturers and the big, well-heeled multinationals better than most.
There's a huge divide here between the mom-and-pop tool and die maker that has been in Youngstown, Ohio for 100 years, and the global corporation that's involved in the global financing of all of this stuff, the global manufacturing, and not really concerned with any one country. They're concerned with how they can best do business.
And one of the biggest obstacles to passing tough legislation that would stop China's unfair trade practices is the lack of political clout of America's domestic manufacturers.
And to go chasing down after all of the political rhetoric of dealing with this issue and that issue and running for Albany or running to Washington, D.C. and setting up meetings and stuff, it's too costly, it's too time-consuming, and it has nothing to do with building drum and barrel handling equipment and helping this company to be successful.
And that's the issue here. They don't have lobbyists down here. There's very few organizations that really represent the small and mid-sized manufacturers. I can think of one or two that really do a great job, but they don't have the impact, the campaign contributions, the corporate influence that some of the big dogs have.
And just who is one of the biggest dogs on the Capitol Hill lobbying block?
Behind me is the headquarters of the National Association of Manufacturers, which unfortunately has become a major misnomer in recent years, because the name really should be the National Association of Manufacturing Things someplace else.
If you go back and you look at the National Association of Manufacturers meetings in which they were talking about endorsing or not endorsing the Ryan Murphy China currency bill, you will see that there was a huge split where the small and medium-sized manufacturers endorsed the bill. But the 20% of the membership that gives 80% of the dues didn't want to have anything to do with the Ryan Murphy China currency bill.
Brian O'Shaughnessy is the chairman of Revere Copper, a company founded by none other than Paul Revere, and the oldest manufacturer in America. And O'Shaughnessy has been on the inside of the National Association of Manufacturers when it has opposed bills like those offered up by Tim Ryan to stop China's currency manipulation.
I stood up before a group of 300 of the most powerful CEOs in this country, and I told them, as we consider NAM support of this bill, I think those of you who have facilities in China, I think you should recuse yourself from voting. You're conflicted. You have to choose between your company and your country, and you can't do that. Well, I was shot down in flames.
By all intents and purposes, a lot of these companies are not American companies anymore.
General Motors takes TARP money and opens up factories in China. Caterpillar Tractor shuts down plants in Peoria and opens up three factories in China. General Electric and Boeing are essentially trying to become Chinese companies.
Look at Coca-Cola. American-sounding company, isn't it? I mean, how American can you get other than Revere, Coca-Cola? The president of Coca-Cola is from South Africa. The chairman is from Turkey. Now, you want to ask them what America's international trade policy should be? You shouldn't listen to them.
While Coca-Cola's executive suite may look like the United Nations, it is purebred American CEOs from companies like Cisco, Ford, IBM, Honeywell, Motorola, Intel, and Apple that keep sending so many of our jobs to China.
We design the iPad, great. We get the profits from the iPad, fine. We don't get the jobs.
Profits versus jobs. That's a conflict Ralph Gomery sees as the root of America's offshoring problem.
They are pursuing maximizing profit. That's their goal. The country is losing the wage bill, and its goal is to have wages.
And then what they're doing is right for their shareholders and their constituents, but it's not right for the people of America who are unable to find work today.
The problem with our system is that it's everything is short-term. So when you talk to a CEO and you say to a CEO, an American CEO, do you realize that they're going to take your technology and they're going to be your competitor? The CEO says, yes, but I only have 3 or 4 years to get my stock up so I can get my bonus. And they kick the can down the road and it's the next guy's problem.
This will end badly for all of us. But everybody is so short-term in thinking and in their tenure that they're willing to take chances that are right for today that they probably know in their minds is long-term bad for America tomorrow.
Ironically, nobody understood this growing divergence between corporate interests and the common good better than candidate Bill Clinton during the 1992 elections.
You must do your part. You must be responsible. American companies must act like American companies again, exporting products, not jobs.
But such corporate irresponsibility wasn't always the American way.
Corporations used to think they had a stakeholder theory. In other words, they had a responsibility to the nation, to their communities, to their workers, and to their shareholders. Something morphed in our own system about 20, 25 years ago, where shareholder value became the end-all and be-all. And then the CEOs tied their own compensation to shareholder value. And then other countries figured out how to incentivize them to increase short-term shareholder value by transferring production, manufacturing, R&D there.
And we can never forget that when China manipulates currency, when China provides illegal subsidies of all sorts for manufacturing, for the act of exporting itself, these U.S.-owned companies benefit. They like the status quo. They want to protect it, and they have paid a lot of money for it.
Money and the power of America's multinational corporations in influencing China trade policy. That's something two men from two distinctly different worlds can agree on.
And I live in that world. I watch those dollars go.
Campaign laws allow them to spend unlimitless amounts of money.
It's a tsunami.
But to former White House advisor Jared Bernstein, it's more than just money in politics driving our jobs offshore. It's also the prevailing free market view in the Oval Office, regardless of political party.
I think there is a deeply embedded view that I do not think is wholly wrong, that capital must be happy if we're going to have a successful economy.
And no multinational company has been happier to move its capital offshore than General Electric. But this is truly a fool's game.
The Chinese have no intention of turning over their domestic market to foreign companies. Once they're able to master the technology, they are going to make it very difficult for foreign corporations to make a profit.
When I go out and do speeches to corporate audiences on China and they want me to talk about strategy, it's like, hey, you're going over to China. You're giving them your avionics so you can participate in a regional jet game in China. And 2 or 3 or 5 years from now, you're going to try to sell your regional jets in Europe, and your biggest competitor is going to be that China guy. How stupid is that?
What's happening, unfortunately, in the United States is way too many of our multinational corporations, not only they're shifting their manufacturing overseas, but along with it goes their technology, their intellectual property. And while many of us are concerned, deeply concerned about the loss of jobs, we're just as concerned about the loss of intellectual property. That's sort of the future of America.
The thing is, nobody's really looked at all the industries that have been lost. It's very hard to get information on the industries that are gone or that are just about gone, because the government doesn't keep track of any data. They don't follow industries. They have no market analysts who follow specific industries. So nobody knows what's happened with all of our industrial capacity that's vanished or is in the process of vanishing.
The next thing you see is you're not doing any work over there yourself. The Chinese are doing it for you entirely. And we see that. The two mid-range aircraft in the world are the Airbus 319 and the Boeing 737. 5 years from now, the Chinese have already told both companies they will no longer buy either aircraft. That mid-range aircraft, the one that is dominant throughout Asia, will be entirely manufactured in China under a Chinese mark or name, using technology that they took from Airbus on the one hand and Boeing on the other.
Look around, well, tell me what you see. Every day, more people in the street. Too bad they sent our jobs away. In China, they're not workers, they're just slaves. People wait, it's a world of trade and greed. And the CEOs get richer, and our jobs all move offshore. Oh.
The Soviet Union could make an unbelievable intercontinental ballistic missile, but they couldn't make a loaf of bread. Now, we can make a stealth fighter, but we can't make a pair of shoes.
You can't be a world power if you don't make anything but hot air. And we're well on our way to that.
You can't have sustainable long-run economic growth at robust levels in the absence of a manufacturing base.
Less than 9% of American workers are now in the manufacturing sector. We as a country can't survive into the long term with under 25% of our women and men making things.
Manufacturing jobs have a higher multiplier than service industry jobs. That is to say, every one manufacturing job that you bring into a community ultimately supports half a dozen other jobs.
If you are honest about how jobs have evolved in the United States, small business arose only when there was a stable manufacturing base put under them. My mother and many mothers of yours, I'm sure, up on the commission, they gave themselves home permanence. It was only when there was a stability of middle-class incomes that you had beauty parlors and nail salons and pizza parlors and McDonald's and all of the things we think of as small business.
Every one manufacturing job that you bring into a community ultimately supports half a dozen other jobs.
Those manufacturers provide the good-paying jobs in our community. And it's the jobs that a father or mother can work at the factory, raise their family, have some health care, have a safe pension, donate a little bit of money into the basket in church on Sunday, vote for the school levy, vote for the police and fire levy to help build strong communities. And when those factories got wiped out and they went from 200 to 30 people, it becomes very difficult for these communities to sustain themselves.
Ultimately, the most important reason why America must restore its manufacturing base is to hold on to the research and development, the R&D. That is the taproot of all of the technological innovations we will need to create new jobs in new industries.
Manufacturing is the origin of 70% of U.S. R&D. That's true even today.
You can't do your R&D here and do your manufacturing there.
You can't move your manufacturing overseas and not move your technology and all your engineering.
I mean, it's nice to do R&D and come up with a super-duper design or a new product, but if you can't make it, what's the sense of doing the R&D?
When we say we've kept our technology or our IP, but we've moved our manufacturing, that's just not true. It's an impossible feat.
They're totally coupled. So as manufacturing has moved offshore, R&D has gone right with it.
So as we move more and more manufacturing over to China and people can re-engineer and understand how things are made, we are teaching the country how to compete with us, and ultimately they are.
So that the new products, the next cutting-edge product, is being developed there where the manufacturing's going on in China rather than here where the manufacturing was and now is no longer.
Change course.
We need definitive U.S. action.
We need to show the Chinese that there are limits, that they have to be responsible citizens, and if that they're not responsible citizens, there are consequences.
I like the idea of doing business with China. There are a few people over there, but it must be on our terms. If it's not on our terms, then it's on their terms, and if it's on their terms, they don't have our best interests in mind.
People sometimes say that we can't stand up to the Chinese on any of these issues because we risk starting a, quote, trade war. My message to the American people is that we're already in a trade war.
What's wrong with taking China to task? They pirate our technology, they pirate our intellectual property rights, they counterfeit
right.
our goods and services, and no administration has the backbone to stand up to them.
It's been dismaying for me to see a succession of administrations, both Republican and Democratic, unable or unwilling to take on the China trade imbalance. And I would say part of that is the very cozy relationship that any White House has with the big multinational corporations and with the intellectual elite that have taken a very soft view on this issue. So I think both Democratic and Republican administrations have failed us in the same way.
So how do we, the people, overcome the power and influence of the big multinational companies and the deadly inertia of our political leadership to bring about long overdue changes in the U.S.-China trade relationship?
You know, it almost takes a movement. A Tea Party that's different than, it's completely divorced of left or right. Or it's virtually a Tea Party that differentiates between right and wrong, which is very much different than left or right.
I think this can only happen when the American people really understand what is happening to us and begin to demand that their congressmen and senators really, and the national government, take action in these areas.
I think that at every level, people could boycott to some extent, and there would be a shot heard around the world.
It's got to be a whole community effort by the citizenry, but we do need to create jobs. It doesn't always happen accidentally.
Here's the message that needs to be developed. you know, look, it doesn't have to be this way. This is an economy and a global economy that has been made by policy choices. Policy choices that really do benefit the rich and the multinationals. Their interests no longer coincide with the interests of this country. So we have to do what's best for this country. They'll do what's best for their company, but we have to do what's best for this country. And that means all of us coming together, building an economy that really does work for everybody.
So how do we build such an economy?
We have to decide as a nation that we want manufacturing, that we want prosperity and the good jobs and income that come with manufacturing.
The only thing that matters to me is Flint, Michigan, Dayton, Ohio, and Buffalo, New York. If you don't reestablish the manufacturing base of this country, roughly at the level of 20 to 25% of workers, and the most immediate way to do that is trade reform with China.
The best jobs program is trade reform with China. And the argument is pretty simple. The gross domestic product grows with only four things: consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. And when you run a trade deficit, the simple math of that is that that's a negative in terms of growth.
I think the number one thing that the United States has to do is to move to say we're going to balance our trade.
Look, if we had had balanced trade, you wouldn't have had a decade of a drag on GDP that amounted to almost a point per year. So, of course, we would be better off.
Now, people say, how do you do that? And I'm a young guy. When President Kennedy said, we're going to the moon, he didn't have a clue how to get to the moon. But we set it as a national goal, and we figure out how to do it because we're a smart, creative people.
And if we are to truly balance our trade, we cannot do it by boosting exports alone.
President Obama says, let's export more.
We're now exporting more than $100 billion a year in goods and services to China.
But it isn't exports that matter. It's the difference between imports and exports.
Exports are great, but if your imports grow more rapidly than your exports, there's a drain on demand for what Americans make. We get more unemployment, and the economy sinks into the kind of mess we're in.
If you look at America today, we have a very fast-growing export sector. And people talk about how we're going to come back with exports. That's just all silly. America is going to come back from import substitution. We don't have to take over the world in exports. We simply need to get back our market here.
In fact, American consumers and citizens seem to be far ahead of our politicians when it comes to understanding both the dangers we face and the need for fundamental change.
We're a subsidiary of China and getting worse and worse because they're going to own us pretty soon.
No, you can't have it both ways. We either want the jobs, the manufacturing, everything here in the United States, and we're going to buy it, but you go to the store and you look for the cheapest thing, which usually comes from China.
I do buy China stuff, but I'd prefer to buy American things.
Why?
I think it's better just to support the economy here rather than, you know, you can buy cheaply in China, but I think it's better for our economy if we buy here.
We also got to look at our principles, too. Look how they're living. Is that what we want to support?
We open up our markets to everybody. And I think that if that's how it's going to be, it needs to be a two-way street. And I think politically, our system has not supported, you know, the American worker, the American product from that standpoint.
And perhaps the biggest reason our politicians are failing us is because they have truly forgotten the proper role of government.
I used to debate a colleague of mine, my counterpart from the Chamber of Commerce, and he used to say to me, you know, it's not my job to play Santa Claus to the workers or to paint my company green. It's my job to make money for the shareholders. And I agree with that. That is the job of corporations, but it is government's job to make sure that companies are doing that within a framework that makes sense.
I think the field that we're playing on not only needs to be leveled, but I think everybody needs to be on one field. We're not even on the same field as the Chinese. We are paying very good wages. We are providing health care to our employees. We are in a regulated business as far as workplace safety for our employees. We pay our taxes gladly, and we cannot compete with a non-regulated workplace that pays their employees pennies and are allowed to import their goods into this country with no restrictions.
I mean, what is the alternative for America? Say everybody, all of our workers should take a 50%, 60% pay cut, and then we'll really take on China. We'll get them, or you know, have dirtier air, or have the Cuyahoga River catch on fire again because there's so much pollution going in. Is that really how we're going to compete with China? I think it's the complete opposite. I think we reinvest back into our workers. I think we jumpstart the middle class, and I think have policies in place that would encourage manufacturing back here to put those good jobs in place here in the United States.
But even if we ultimately solve our economic problems, there will still be very difficult challenges ahead in the U.S.-China relationship. If tensions do rise, we must always remember this.
There's a real difference between the Chinese people and the Chinese government. Most of the criticisms that we have are of the Chinese government, the actions that the Chinese government has taken with respect to trade policy and worker rights repression, and the Chinese people suffer from a lot of those same policies.
China until today is a totalitarian regime, is a dynasty. No change at all. Not republic, not people's country.
We need to understand China better. We have this sort of glowy view of the trajectory of China's history. But what we have seen, especially over the last couple of years, is a China that is moving in the wrong directions on everything. And it's not just human rights. It's its relations with its neighbors, its economy, you name it. This is a country that is going backwards in all phases.
I hear people referring to the PRC or the People's Republic. Well, let's be honest. As soon as we accept that phrase, we're joining China in the reality distortion field. It's a lie. It is not the People's, and it is not the Republic. Stop saying that. It's Communist China.
We've got to spread the word that there's danger out there, and we need to change our policies. We can no longer afford to treat a communist dictatorship in China as we would treat any other democratic institution, because they have treated us like fools for doing that. And that's because we have been fools.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cane.
Slicing cake.